Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Walt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Thursday. I'm sure you guys are getting ready for the weekend. For a lot of you that are in the Carolinas or traveling, be careful. Obviously, there's a big storm coming through. I, for one, sat through a 5-mile-an-hour rainstorm last year, but I wouldn't wish that on my own worst enemy. But I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to get the brunt of it because, well, you're closer to the ocean probably than I am. And because by the time I got to us, it died down. So anyways, guys, be careful. Especially all of you as well, because I'm sure you're going to be dealing with a lot of rain and things like that with the way these tropical storms are. So if you're traveling the game, be careful. Turn around, don't drown. Or if there's no flooding, just a lot of wetness, just be careful on the road because there's a lot of morons out there who feel that just because they have a big giant tread on their tires that they can still go 100 miles an hour on a slippery-ass surface. Then one little thing happens, they have to jerk their brake, and next thing you know, they're flipped over. All right, guys. Doing some little post-mortems from Pitt, Penn State. Some more of this. Well, first of all, last time I vented a little bit because, you know, I'm seeing posts of these, you're not a true fan if you don't go to the game or if you stop going after the Penn State game. I mean, Penn State, you know, Pitt fans, we vent. We get pissed off. We're sick of it, but we dust ourselves off. We get back the next game. That's how it always goes, and I don't think we're really in the position here to play fan police with each other because we only get like 40,000 core fans. And so, I mean, if you're going to beat your chest over being a super fan, and so be it, but stuff, you know, nothing really to brag about. I mean, congratulations. You know, for a lot of these guys that are pissed off, they buy season tickets, they cut checks. So to me, if they want to go to the games, hey, they paid their money. They're not obligated to go. So it's their, I mean, they already paid their money, so you don't have no basis to tell them what to do with their time. And for a lot of you traveling, though, Pitt's been playing at home for 3 weeks in a row, and traveling can be a pain in the ass at times, especially if you're out of town. Going back for the third home game in a row, I get it. For some, obviously, maybe you missed Albany, you're going to do Penn State and Georgia Tech 2 weeks in a row. Maybe you just came for a Penn State game, and you're thinking Georgia. No thanks. No thanks. So it happens. But as we're looking through all this, all the events of, you know, since then, well, we find out there are a place there are the guy that's the holder is the holder of the team. He busted his hand, you know, on the week leading up to the Penn State game. And my thing is this, I think the kid's a walk-on too, and this is what irks me, is he's got one freaking job. One job. That's it. He gets his glory. He goes out there, he holds the ball, mommy and daddy love it. Oh, Sonny boy is holding the ball, look at that. That's our boy, holding the ball. Yep, field goal's good, awesome. Then he goes back to the sideline and that's it. That's all he has to do. It's one job. And the guy's acting like he's a goddamn scholarship player on a two deep, playing some, doing something more meaningful. But yeah, I mean, placeholder is meaningful because, you know, it's important to be able to knock down field goals and extra points. But come on, man. You have one job. Don't F it up over stuff like this, getting in a fight. Otherwise, they're going to give it to somebody else. And then you got to sit on the sidelines and pout and look around at everybody. So, you know. And then, you know, when you get older in life and you can tell them, you know, if you have a girlfriend or you're dating some girl or trying to impress, you can say, yeah, I played D1 football in the ACC. Yeah, I held the ball. I played special teams. I was a badass. I held the football. And they would just kick that ball right through the freaking uprights. Right? So, it's not hard. Come on. And you had Tim Salem. I guess he spent the whole week, most of this week, at the practice facility. And I have no idea why, because I'm not sure what the special teams could have done anything at all to help that 51-6 loss. Unless they can hold the ball for the field goal extra point, or they can punt, or they can throw the ball to themselves, you know, play quarterback and just throw the ball to themselves. I mean, there's not much else the tight ends could have done in that situation. And it wasn't so much the offensive line wore down in the second half. It's more Penn State made adjustments. When your quarterback can't throw shit, They're gonna stack the box and light you guys up in the backfield. That's just how it is. So you're not gonna be able to block everybody that comes through there. Sorry, doesn't happen. And I'm sure, you know, obviously you guys have been filtering through your Twitter comments and things like that. And it's a rivalry game, and Penn State, obviously, you know, they'd be a team that hates them so badly, and they're bragging about it. That's just life. I mean, that's how it goes. So I can understand Pitt fans being upset because, you know, for one thing, it was a really hyped game, and you're expecting a good game, and of course, the team comes in that you hate so badly. They come to your home field, they piss on it, piss on you, piss on the players, piss on the staff, piss on the student section. Make you leave early, and then basically burn the bodies, burn them upside down, and piss on them some more. So there you go. That was just of all that. So I can understand the upset and the anger. But if there's one person who should have been sleeping at the facility all week, should have been Andre Powell, because basically it was his unit that pulled this crap. More than anything else. It wasn't so much the freaking... I mean, we're almost in week three, and we still can't do an extra point. So that's a problem. And hopefully by Georgia Tech they figure that out, because otherwise, from the guy running this thing, or the woman, like the AD, I'm going to find somebody who's going to run it properly. And as far as the punting goes, we need to prove that. I mean, if he got rattled or something, you know. Sorry, but you gotta have nerves of steel in these type of games. Maybe he just wasn't used to that. Or maybe he needs to go back to Australian rules and do something else. I don't know. But as far as the Pitt game goes for this week, Tech's without their top running back. And, you know, the thing with Tech is it's a system. So I'm sure whoever they plug in will fit in well. What can we expect from this week? Well, we obviously need some sort of improvement for the passing game, because I thought we had that figured out, but it doesn't look like it now. Better play calling, obviously. You know, defensively, Pitt did well in the first half against Penn State. In the second half, they just kind of just said, fuck it. Wasn't worth it. Can't blame them. Can't blame them at all. But the, you know, this game and obviously North Carolina are two critical games. They're winnable, but they're critical because the coast is still for grabs, and Pitt, despite what happened, if they can do something here and in North Carolina, they can build on something. Hopefully, things get better. Because, yeah, we weren't obviously competing for a playoff spot, but we can at least try to do something in our division and make some noise. So, we still got that going for us. So let's hope and pray something happens there. But as far as the week goes, you know, Penn State is back at home against Kent State, so that should be a pretty much easily winnable game for them. BYU-Wisconsin, it's at Camp Randall, so that's an intriguing game because BYU usually brings it to the play, but I think the Mighty Paul Christ and company will run it down their throats, and that'll be that. The big game of the weekend is LSU-Auburn, because LSU is now 12th ranked, and they're going to Auburn, who's 7th ranked. It's an intriguing matchup, but I think Auburn wins this one. I mean, I don't think LSU's going to be all that bad with Orgeron, and I know LSU fans hate the guy. They hate this hire, but if he can be a better, you know, some coaches, I mean, they're more executives than they are anything else. If he surrounds himself with good assistants, he'll be fine. But obviously, that's going to be an intriguing matchup and a really good one at that. But I don't think LSU pulls that one off. I think Auburn's gonna beat them, and they're gonna add to their resume because it's looking up for them. You got Boise State, Oklahoma State. You know, Boise's traveling there. I pretty much give the edge to Oklahoma State. Boise still feels a really good competitive football team. It's just Chris Pierce is no longer there. Alabama and Ole Miss. Bama should roll on those guys. Ohio State and TCU. Another big intriguing matchup. I think Ohio State ultimately pulls that one off. They're at TCU, but I don't think it's going to really matter in this case. I think TCU will give them a game and match. You know, they'll run with them for a bit, but I think Ohio State's just too strong, and you know, I think eventually they're gonna pull it off. You know, they'll pull it off at the end like they always do. There's obviously Washington, Utah. That's still a intriguing game because Utah's still a decent team, but I think Chris Pearson recovers and they win that one. Although Utah's come off of, you know, nice win for them from the other week. Arizona State and San Diego State. Arizona State jumped into the top 25 at 23. They're playing San Diego State. I think Herm Edwards keeps his train going, and he's 3-0. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Herm maybe gives his job 2-3 years. And if Arizona State stays ranked, I think he just bails out then. Says, hey, you know, I did my job. West Virginia had NC State this weekend, but that's canceled because of the hurricane. And, you know, you just got to be safe. That's all I can do. Of course, East Carolina, Virginia Tech was canceled as well, but Hokies got themselves in some hot water on Twitter because supposedly they made a tweet that says Hokies are waterproof, which, you know, I'm all for political correctness at times, but I think with hurricanes, you get people who lose their homes, they lose their lives, get turned upside down, they lose their lives, some lose their lives, so, yeah, it's not really something to make fun of. or, you know, or to troll on. But if I'm being honest, East Carolina probably wins that one easily. Now, around the ACC tonight, we got Boston College at Wake Forest. This is an intriguing game for both teams. Both these guys are unknown. It's at Wake. But I like Boston College in this one. I think Adazio and the Bros pull this one off. Because Wake has been struggling early. And, you know, this is obviously a good test for them, but I think BC pulls this one off in a close one. And we'll go ahead and we'll take a look at the rest of these games here. I think Clemson has an easy-ass game this weekend. After being A&M by two, they get to play Georgia Southern, so they'll probably steamroll them. Miami and Toledo face off, and Miami should win that one on paper, but Toledo is usually a pain in the ass to play. They're a Maction team, and their Mactions are a pain in the ass. Florida State and Syracuse is even intriguing because Florida State's been sucking. And if Syracuse wants to start off 3-0, here you go. This is a game that they have to have. I like Syracuse in this one. I think they keep it going because they got to. Let's see. Duke and Baylor. And this is another one. Baylor, obviously, is 2-0, and they just beat Texas San Antonio, UTSA. Duke's come off a win against Northwestern. You know, I was hard on Duke early this year and didn't really understand the hype, but they pulled off, you know, two nice wins already, and Baylor sucks, so they should, you know, they still suck, so they should, you know, they should win this one pretty easily. Baylor's just not there yet, but for Baylor, obviously, this is a big game for them if they can pull it off. Virginia plays Ohio, and it's at Virginia, and the game's not canceled yet, but Virginia lost a heartbreaker to Indiana, and I thought that, you know, things would start to swim under Mendenhall, but I think he's still got a, whoever their coach is, I think I got his name wrong, but whatever. I'm thinking them with Rashad Mendenhall from the Steelers. You know, I thought things would take off with them, and it hasn't yet. I mean, they won some games last year, but then a lot of, we learned that was fool's gold, pretty much. Okay, I take that back. That was Bronco Mendenhall. So yeah, I had the name right. I don't know who I was thinking about, but I think they'll pull off the win against Ohio and Frank Solich. I mean, Solich obviously was one of the guys that Steve Pearson moved in Nebraska after going 10-3. They fired Solich for winning 10 games, and if you look in Nebraska, that program was trending downward, and it really hasn't gone up ever since. Because, you know, what really killed Nebraska was when Texas came into the league and recruiting rules changed, and Nebraska couldn't get the same players they used to, and which led to Tom Osborne, you know, retiring not too long after that, and that was that. The last game on the list is Louisville and Kentucky. I mean, Louisville and excuse my language, in Western Kentucky. Louisville should probably win that one easily. There's no debating that. So, there goes your weekend of college football in general. Now, as far as NFL goes, I really haven't looked at anything. I know that Le'Veon Bell is still out, and he didn't show up to team practices, which means that James Conner is going to start. For Bell, this doesn't bode well at all, because if James Conner keeps performing like he is, he's not going to get the contract that he wants anymore, at all, ever. So he's just going to sit there and, either watch the games, twiddle his thumbs, or wait till week 8. I think he has up till the eighth game of the season, I think, to come back. But, you know, Carr looked good, and obviously he had a costly fumble, and that's all people are focused on right now is that. So, as far as Ben goes, Ben doesn't look like himself, and of course it's early in the year, and I think he'll get better. It's the first week. He does his inconsistent crap from time to time, and it happens with him. He's older. And these veterans don't think they should practice as much, and I understand it. You know, they have to reserve their bodies for so much other stuff, but oh well. Anyways, guys, enjoy your weekend, be safe. Let's get the 2-1. Hail to Pitt. Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.